joined by Joe Paperone, who is the lead organizer with the New York State Labor Religion Coalition. More than a half century after the Poor People's March out of Martin Luther King's organizing, there is a Poor People's Moral March on D.C. This Saturday, June 18th. So, Joe, how is this event shaping up, and why call such a march at this point in time?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. It's shaping up well. It's hard to say exactly what the total numbers will look like. I know in New York State, we're feeling very good about the buses we've got organized around the state and some of our partner organizations. This particular march is part of, you know, our Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, our national campaign that relaunched and is trying to continue Dr. King's last campaign. We relaunched in 2018 with actions at state capitals around the country. And this march was actually, we had intended to do this in 2020. Obviously, COVID-19 put a kibosh on that, but we are back at it and building towards this. And we know that, you know, it's not all about just one march. Sometimes I think our civil rights history gets a little skewed, and we think of the 63 March on Washington as though that was the main thing that happened, but it was actually only one piece of a much broader movement. So this Saturday, the 18th, is going to serve as one moment of demonstrating and showing the power and unity of poor and dispossessed people across the country.
So what are some of the, you know, key demands that the ongoing campaign is, you know, seeking to impact on?
Yeah, absolutely. Some key things that we've been fighting on. We carry forward Dr. King's analysis of these interlocking injustices. And so this, at a broad level, we talk about systemic racism, poverty, militarism in the war economy, and ecological devastation as these interlocking oppressions, right? That all of these issues are connected. And in fact, that you can't just address one of them without addressing all of them, right? I'll often use a metaphor of like a soundboard, if anyone's ever seen that, you know, dozens and dozens of dials. And if you adjust one of them, you know, maybe you'll improve the sound a little bit, but until you know how all of those things connect to one another and relate to one another, until you're able to adjust and make changes in all of those spaces, you're not really going to improve the sound quality overall. And so for us, we are looking at elevating local struggles, right, around the country. And so really, while we do have a list of demands, you can go to the poorpeoplescampaign.org website and look at the national demands. A lot of the demands are very locally specific, or we are organized as state campaigns. So in New York State, we are focusing on housing and healthcare. In particular, the reason we've chosen those, not to the exclusion of everything else, but because those are issues that we feel we can build the broadest base of support amongst poor and dispossessed people. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your life experiences, you got to figure out an answer to how you're putting a roof over your head and how you're going to deal with your healthcare. And so that allows us to connect people across all the lines of division that the ruling class uses to divide us.
Well, speaking of healthcare, you know, one of the issues when I was working on the Hunger Action Network, we helped revitalize in New York, was the idea about, you know, single payer healthcare, and, you know, the long term sponsor of that bill, lead sponsor, you know, Dick Gottfried, Assemblymember healthcare chair, retired this year. But it didn't really seem like there was a lot of serious effort in the legislature to actually, you know, pass this bill, despite the fact that so many legislators are, in fact, you know, co-sponsors. Why isn't, you know, like healthcare for all getting a more serious look in New York, especially with the Democrats in control of, you know, all the levers of government?
Yeah, I think that's deeply illuminating about the state of our political landscape, and particularly around legislators and elections. Right, a lot of these candidates and elected officials ran on universal healthcare. They ran on the New York Health Act, or they ran on Medicare for all. And it's remarkably popular amongst the broad sectors of the population, especially amongst poor and dispossessed people who are, you know, struggle to meet their healthcare needs. And yet, you know, despite having a majority, not just a majority of Democrats, a majority of co-sponsors, the legislation can't move forward out of committee for a vote, right? And so we I don't have any, there's no deep conspiracy about this. We're up against massive forces of capital, right? The healthcare industry is extremely profitable. And we're talking about hospital associations, pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies, right? None of them want there to be a single payer system. None of them want the profit motive to be removed from our healthcare system. And so the fight for healthcare as a human right really confronts one of the biggest sectors of capital, not just in our state, but in the country. I think it's an area that they're weak in, right? A for-profit system of healthcare is unable to meet our needs, right? And the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed that very clearly. What we need is a universal socialized healthcare system, you know, free at point of service. But even that, you know, even if the New York Health Act were to pass tomorrow, there would still be issues. There are something like 24 rural hospitals in New York State that are basically on track to close, right? What good is having a universal healthcare system if the services aren't available in an accessible way near you, right? So there's other fronts of this struggle that we bring into this. And we try and, when we talk about healthcare, have this holistic analysis, talking about long-term care and fair pay for home care workers, talking about making sure that healthcare is accessible and available to immigrant populations, ending medical debt, you know, key steps towards a holistic universal healthcare system. But we know that we need to lift from the bottom. And that's why we're very unequivocal that poor and dispossessed people are the leading force in bringing about this change.
So I'm going to ask a two-part question, about 3 minutes left. One is, if people, you know, are interested in going to D.C., are there still room in the buses going from the Capital District? And then the second, one thing about, you know, Liberty Religion Coalition, clearly, you know, faith-based, you know, the faith community is one area where, you know, the participants cross, you know, political boundaries. And this country is so, you know, polarized at the moment. You know, how has the faith community, you know, been able to try to overcome some of those divisions in the rest of society?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll spend most of the time on that. But real briefly, our Capital Region bus is presently full. That said, in the, you know, last stretch leading up to when we leave very early Saturday morning, people will cancel and drop off. So if you're interested in getting on the bus, we do have a waiting list. It's very short. So if just even a couple people cancel, we'll have some seats on the bus. You can go to nyspc.org and send us an email there. And I'll make sure, say you're in the Capital Region and you'd like to ride on Saturday the 18th. And if we can, we'll get you there. You can still come to the march if you can get to DC another way. We only have so many seats on the bus. In terms of the faith communities, you're absolutely right. I think faith, religion, and religious institutions have been unfortunately, a source of polarization over recent decades. And sometimes the Poor People's Campaign gets some critique, you know, for using moral language, for the heavy prominence of faith leaders in our organizing and in our actions. And really that's rooted in our analysis, though, that this terrain of spirituality, this terrain of religion is contestable, right? That it shouldn't just be forfeited to the forces of reaction, often the religious right, which is still a relatively new movement. I mean, it's a few decades old now, but, you know, the religious right was an activated, mobilized, you know, strategy on the part of reactionary forces to mobilize people around really very narrow issues that have caused a lot of people to be bought into a whole host of other areas that are very much not in their interests. We know that poor people tend to be more religious than the population at large. Yeah, we think that our sacred texts, like the Bible, like the Quran, any of these are actually texts of liberation, right? I can say I'm a Christian pastor. The Bible is predominantly written from the perspective of poor and dispossessed people. And there's a lot to be learned from those texts and drawn from that. We think the realm of religion and spirituality is a space of contestation that we should fight for, and we should not just give up and allow the religious right to lay claim to morality.
So we're out of time. This Saturday, the Poor People's Moral March on D.C. We've been talking with Joe Paperone, New York State Liberty Religion Coalition, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.